This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
I am coming to you live from witness protection after I was named and shamed on Jade Tunchi's Instagram story. Do you know what's hilarious? I went to bed early on Monday night and it's probably the first time in 6 months I've gone to bed early and my phone would not stop buzzing. And I had about 30 messages from you guys.
Yeah, you went missing for that. Look, to be honest, if everyone wants to know, I was on the toilet. And I was just about to go to bed and I was flipping through my Instagram story, as you do. And I was watching Jade's and then my own name popped up on her story. And I was like, what the fuck?
I had to seek refuge upstairs because I didn't want my boyfriend to see what I was talking about. Because he's often like, oh, what are you messaging the girls about? And I just felt it was so pathetic that I didn't even want to explain it.
Well, the worst thing was because I was in bed early. I couldn't even play the video. So you guys screen grabbed them and sent them to me. And I was like, what is she saying? Like, what's she talking about?
Well, we are going to go into that drama a little bit later in the podcast, but let's kick this off with a social dilemma. And we've had a listener send in, what is an acceptable response time via text before it becomes classified as rude/ignored? Now, to be honest, I feel like this can be broken up into several different parts because there's obviously text messages related to relationships and there's friendships and then there's like business ones. So
yeah. I would assume this is about a guy.
Yeah, I feel like you're not really... Well, it could be about a friend because it does annoy you when friends don't reply. But I also think the messages depend on what platform that they've been sent on. Because for me, Messenger is something that I'm so slack with. Like my best friend will vouch for this. We've got a group chat with our best friend, Owen. And we are all hopeless at getting back to each other, but no one's offended.
Now, she has specified here that it is a text. So I feel like it is about a guy because, I mean... I don't know about you, but I don't really send my friends text messages.
No, I just literally use Messenger, even for Reese now, because we were friends before we went out. So we kind of just chatted on Messenger.
See, I find that weird.
Yeah. I don't know why. Is it because when a boy sends you a text message, it kind of seems special because they've, you know, back in the day would have paid the 50 cents to send it to you?
I think it's because I feel like you go from Messenger to text. Like there's a flow that happens.
Yeah, but now, like, if now that you guys obviously dating your boyfriends long term, would you communicate on Messenger?
No, never.
Really? We only send houses to each other on realestate.com or stuff on Facebook Marketplace.
Well, maybe people can share in the Facebook community, you know, how they communicate with their boyfriend. Is it text? Is it Messenger?
What about Snapchat? Because I feel like if you're Snapchatting your boyfriend when you're, you know, 2 years into a relationship, I don't know if that's the sort of medium
Look, I'll send Snapchats to Reese during the day of our dog or something like that or things at work, but I'm not going to have like a full-on conversation. I won't message like, oh, what do you want for dinner on Snapchat.
Now, we should probably delve into this question though, because this is one close to my heart, because I feel like in your early 20s, this is something you do analyze a lot.
Could I ask, because yeah, as you said, I was someone that would always be waiting on a guy to reply to a text message, and it got to the point where, you know, when they take ages to reply, so then you take ages to reply. And I remember I used to actually take my phone upstairs and put it on the charger and then go downstairs and leave it for a bit because you kind of thought, all right, I don't want it physically near me, because you're constantly thinking, is that message going to come through?
The disappointment when you go back to your room and there's no messages.
Or you do have one and it's like from mom or something. Oh. Like, no.
Do you know what the worst used to be when I used to converse with guys over Snapchat Messenger?
Sorry, that sounds so seedy. No, when I used to converse with
a guy. Well, it was my ex-boyfriend. And you'd get it, you'd send a message and then you'd open it up and it'd been read and not replied.
I remember waiting for a text message reply and we were at the movies watching He's Just Not That Into You. I was like, oh, this makes sense.
It's like those times when you think there must have been like a technical glitch or something because, you know, it must be the reason they haven't replied to you.
That's the thing though, with this day and age, everyone's phones are like connected to their hand. So if they're at work, you know, that's okay. Like, you know that they might be in a meeting or something. But if it's taken like
5 hours on a Saturday or Sunday, then that's pretty shit.
I also think that it depends what their message says as well. I feel like if you haven't replied to someone for a full day, there should be some explanation, you know, an apology, like, sorry, I was really busy.
But if there's
just a message back as if they're, you know, not even acknowledging the time, I think that's pretty piss poor.
But don't you think that some people might do it purposely? Because sometimes there is a bit of a thrill in waiting to receive a message from someone.
Yeah, there's a lot of game playing, I think, with text messages, because, you know, it might actually mean someone cares more if they've purposely waited like an allocated time. Because, you know, if I really cared and I'd waited a couple of hours to get the text message, as I said before, I would then think, oh, well, I've got to wait the same amount of time to reply. But then again, then you think, oh, but this person's available now, so do I reply straight away?
Oh, that's the worst. That is actually the worst. When you've waited for hours for a response and you send one back straight away, think, oh, they're going to reply. Yeah. The same thing, they just don't reply.
You should never reply straight away. You should at least give it half an hour. If someone's waited like 7 hours to reply to you, don't reply instantly.
Oh, I just feel at the end of the day, though, if someone wants to talk to you, they're going to reply. Like, I feel like I wish I took this advice when I was single. Like, you know, simply they're not that into you if they're going to sit and leave you on read all day.
That being said, I feel so sorry for this girl, because it is one of the most hurtful things to have someone not reply to you.
I think it also depends what age this person is, because if they're a bit older and they've got a really important job, or they've got kids, or they're busy throughout the day, they might actually reply to all their text messages at night.
You touched on it before, Kate. I feel like you know in your heart whether that person is wanting to have a conversation with you or not. And once you get into a good relationship, you realize that person, even if they're busy, they will quickly shoot off a text message to you to let you know, I'll message you later.
Yeah. Being on the other side of it, isn't it the worst when you get a text message that you just don't want to reply to? I like just let it sit there, and it gives me anxiety looking at it. I mean, this isn't necessarily like dating, you know, this is more like those awkward friends that contact you, or like business, you know, things that you should be following up that you're like, I just can't mentally deal with this right now.
That you don't want people to see that you've seen, like if it's on Instagram.
That is the heartbreaking thing, though, as you were touching on with, you know, all these different forms of technology. When you see that someone hasn't replied to you, but you see them sitting on Facebook Messenger, you're like, what the fuck?
We had a few more social dilemmas sent through, so we'll answer a couple more. So what do you guys think of this one? At a social gathering, the men stick with the men and the women stay with the women. Have you guys experienced this?
I have a lot with Dale and his friends. And in some instances, it can be really, really good when you do want to have a girly chat. But other times, it does seem weird that you're not really seeing your partner at a social event.
It seems very primary school that we're segregated into genders.
Yeah, I personally haven't really experienced it that much with Brandon. I think that when we hang out with his friends, it's all very together in a group conversation. But I just think it's all a bit juvenile to just stick to whatever your gender is. A lot of my friends are males, and I love chatting with them.
I think it's unfair on your partner, say, if you're all friends with a group of girls and you bring them to something and then all the guys don't know each other and they're forced to kind of like fend for themselves. Mm-hmm. In that situation, I think everyone should kind of have that group chat, because that's what I enjoy most when you're at a function. If it's, say, it's a smaller thing and everyone's kind of together chatting, whereas it does feel like there's a lot of pressure on you if you're like the partner that's brought along to hang out with these people that you don't even know just because you're the same gender.
Yeah, I've found that before, where I've been put into situations where all the girls know each other and they've been to school together. And then you kind of feel left out. And it is a bit awkward.
Yeah.
Don't you hate that? It's kind of like on the similar topic of this, but when you get absolutely shafted just being left with someone, doesn't matter what gender. Like, yes. I remember being in a wedding and Brandon and I were getting a drink at the bar, and we turned around and the groom's friends were there and they were chatting, and we were filming this wedding. So Brandon's like, sorry, I got to pop back and do this. Completely left me there with these people for 20 minutes.
I have been that asshole. And you know when you're doing it, and when you do it, you're just like, fuck you, and you leave, and you give them the eyes, and the person can't do anything about it. But as you said, it's terrible when the shoe's on the other foot.
That just reminds me of a Seinfeld episode where Jerry gets out of this awkward dinner with Elaine's dad.
No, it's her dad.
Yeah, and then George can't think of a lie at all.
Yeah.
I loved this social dilemma. It's, how do you deal with friends who are activists online but aren't in person / real life?
This is very 2021, because we are seeing a lot of performative activism online with influencers, and I suppose that trickles down to normal people. I don't know if I would broach it with a friend, though, because I feel like only bad things can happen from that conversation.
I feel like you could bring it up in a group discussion and say, oh, you know, you are talking a lot about this online. Is this something that you really believe in?
And the thing is, though, like, while I think people's actions should match up with what they say online, particularly for influencers, I do feel like, is it that if it's something positive that's being shared, should we be having a go and making people awkward about doing that?
Well, there's nothing worse when you see someone who's being fake online, though. Like, it would really irritate me, for instance, if I had a friend who was, you know, all for animal rights and then they're draping themselves in fur.
Oh, that it would be totally different if the person was being completely hypocritical in real life. But I mean, say someone shared a change the date thing around Australia Day and they didn't go to a protest, but, you know, they still didn't celebrate. I don't think you would, you know, have a go at them. However, if their actions really didn't marry up to what they were saying and they were doing the complete opposite, then yeah, I think you're within your rights to say something. All right, moving on. How long should you stay at a birthday dinner drink situation?
Oh, this one's hard because there's been so many times where I've been at things and all I want to do is go home, get in my comfortable clothes and watch TV.
Well, I have a different situation. So I was invited to a wedding and it was my partner's friend's wedding and it was a really nice wedding and everyone then got up and decided to leave at around 9:30. And I thought this was incredibly rude considering this couple had paid for everyone's drinks, food. It was a really beautiful day. And I'm like, what the hell? That's so rude. So then we obviously stayed for as long as we possibly could. But to me, that is just the height of rudeness.
Yeah, that's particularly brutal at a wedding. I mean, you know, a casual birthday drinks is a little bit different, but I do think you need to put yourself in other people's shoes. And how would you feel if you've put on something for your birthday and people haven't even stuck around?
I think it depends if they've paid for everything as well.
Yeah.
If they've put a bar tab on and you're just getting there drinking and then leaving, I think that's really rude.
Particularly if you're going out after, like at this wedding, it was quite clear that these guys had come to get drunk and then were going and, you know, going to a nightclub. I'm like, that is so rude.
I feel like, I mean, this is a wedding thing, but I've heard of people drinking the bar to drink more than what they paid for a present, which I think is also incredibly rude. I mean, I don't drink alcohol, so I'd be really furious at my future wedding if everyone's just getting pissed to make up for
you
a present.
You realize that's what everyone's going to be doing, so because you and Brandon don't drink, I feel like everyone's going to take the piss when you guys get married.
Or maybe we won't provide any alcohol. Maybe we'll be those people at the
oh gosh, that would be even worse. People would be so mad. Everyone would just be sitting around talking about how there was no alcohol at your wedding.
Well, back to the birthday party. I do feel like this sort of thing actually puts people off from holding any sort of celebration.
Because
I know when we turned 21, I was like thinking, shit, do I even have a party? Because I'm scared no one will turn up. And then there's nothing worse than paying for everything and people piss off after 20 minutes. So, yeah, I do think if you're a real friend, you stay till the end.
Yeah,
I think that's the acceptable thing. However, if you're a fringe friend and there's still a lot of people there, I think you can sneak out.
Yeah, and especially if this person's left your birthday drinks.
Oh, you know, karma is a bitch, isn't it?
Do you think that you should say goodbye to the person? Because personally, I like to kind of leave quietly and disappear.
I like to do that, but Dale makes a point of saying goodbye to everybody. I'm like, can't we just sort of
I think
sneak
it's polite
out?
To say goodbye. Again, it depends on how many people are there. Like if you're one of 10, you've got to say goodbye. But if it's like 200 people, I mean, not that I've really been to a birthday party with 200 people. Well, lastly, this one I thought was quite interesting. Someone wrote, only wanting to pay for what I ordered /ate, but friends wanted to split the bill evenly. I feel like this hits us hard because we came from a family where, like, you know, you paid people back. Like if I bought Sophie something, she pays me back. Like Dad used to have this list of things that Mum had to pay me back for.
Maybe be extreme in that respect.
So I feel like it really does depend how you've been brought up. But, you know, if I go out to dinner with Amy and Sophie, we're itemizing what we got. Like, it might sound stingy, but that's just the way we were brought up.
But not on a date. Like, if you go out on a date, you're not like, well, sorry, you had half of those spring rolls.
This question is about friends. I just think, like, there is no worse feeling than being absolutely shafted at the end of a meal. When you have, like, I went to this birthday party. Like, it was a fringe friend. And we all had to order off a particular, very expensive menu. Anyway, it got to the end of the night. I'd literally had one soft drink. Everyone had been boozing it up. I had to pay for their fucking drinks.
And that's the thing. If people were transparent at the start and said, okay, everybody, we're just going to split the bill, then you'd be ordering heaps of drinks to make up for it. But when you're screwed, you choose the cheapest item on the menu and then you're then having to pay $100 ahead. It's ridiculous.
Oh, there's nothing worse than being screwed. I mean, obviously, if you go out with your friends and you've all had roughly the same thing, sure, split it evenly. Like, I don't care a couple of dollars here and there. But I do think when people are saving for houses or they're saving for saving up for holidays or whatever it is, I do feel like people make decisions based on that sort of thing. So it's not really fair if you've had like a small meal and someone's ordered up big.
Yeah. Do you know what? This is going to make me sound like an absolute stinge, but I feel like you guys will relate. Has anyone been in that situation where you have paid a little bit more and you're getting... You know, you're waiting to get the money back to compensate yourself. And people were like, oh, let's just leave that to tip everybody.
Oh,
and you're
like,
I kind of want that money because I put in extra.
Do you know what's funny though? Like sometimes when you're, so say the bill is itemized and you're like all in the line to pay. It's so funny because sometimes if you're the last person, you either get royally screwed or you end up winning out of it. Like you get there and they're like, oh, that's just $10. You're like, oh, thank you.
It's like when people, like when you're out, people forget that they got chips or forget that they got sides. And you're like, come on.
Your boyfriend does that all the time.
Oh. He's a bit guilty.
I remember we went out to a restaurant in Adelaide, Dough Balls, and he was paying for what he had and he was going to leave you to pay for the entree. And I was like, didn't you have extra dough balls?
On the topic of relationships and sharing money, my ex-boyfriend was the biggest stinge that his brother actually made an app to split the bill. And I feel like I was the only person that fucking ever used it. And it was always like 50-50 and he'd pig his face and eat way more and drink more. And I'd have like the smallest meal and be like, oh, so-and-so has sent you, you know, the request to split the bill. And I'm like, fuck off. Like, this is the most unromantic thing you could ever do.
I'm not going to let anyone talk about me like I'm a piece of garbage. He's trying to be a lad out there in front of all the boys. I don't want a lad. I want a gentleman. Yeah. Someone that's going to talk about me with a bit of respect. Yeah.
Now, we teased it at the start. Let's get into the Jade Tunchi update. Now, late on Monday night, Jade took to her Instagram story inviting her followers to unfollow her if they didn't like her content. Now, the outburst came as Jade revealed she had been receiving negative feedback about posting too much about her recent engagement. This is what she said.
You guys know that there are a lot of people who don't know that you can unfollow people that you follow. It's crazy, honestly. You wouldn't believe how many people have messaged me in the past complaining about something that they have seen on my profile. E.g., like me getting engaged for some reason is bothering people. So they're like complaining about the fact that I'm posting it too much. Just wanted to remind you guys or tell you if you don't know that you can unfollow me. I didn't know if you knew that, so... just a friendly little PSA. Also, here's a really fun one. There's actually people who don't even follow me who are like going out of their way to watch my content and then complain about it. You don't have to come here. No one's forcing you. I don't know if you know that. So I just wanted to take the time to let you know myself personally that you don't have to be here. You can leave. So much for popping by though.
Now, while Jade claimed that this was a friendly public service announcement, her tone was just incredibly condescending. She then proceeded to share screenshots from our Facebook community discussing her engagement posts, including people's full names. Now, this is where I feel like she crossed the line.
Yeah, well, she seemed to have a bit of a change of heart because like 10 minutes later, the post was deleted. Now, obviously, it was extremely disheartening to see private comments in our Facebook page publicly shared and those people's names put out there to be trolled by Jade's fans. However, for me, I think the most frustrating thing was Jade's complete hypocrisy. As discussed in our episode a couple of weeks ago, on Australia Day, Celeb Spellcheck called Jade out for her performative activism. So for those who didn't see it, Celeb Spellcheck posted Jade's Change the Date post and then juxtapositioned it next to a Facebook comment she wrote in 2017 that said, "There's speculation that Aboriginals weren't from here originally, ... Look it up." So rightfully so, these comments upset a lot of people. However, instead of acknowledging the post and issuing an apology, Jade stayed quiet. So then fast forward 2 weeks later and Jade jumps on her Instagram story straight away to draw attention to the fact that people were being mean to her about her engagement.
What did the comments actually say? Because I think that's important to let people know.
Well, I'm actually the person that posted the thread that got all this attention. And it was off the back of our podcast on Friday where we discussed Jade's engagement and the fact that she was posting so much about it. So I posted the following video and said it was a bit cringe.
So by now, most of you would know that I am engaged. If you don't know, I am engaged. But I wanted to say how strange it is that my skin completely cleared up right before Locke proposed and my natural nails. Do you guys remember about 2 weeks ago I posted about the fact that my natural nails have grown for the first time in my entire life? These are my real nails. They have never, ever, ever grown like this. They always flake off and rip and break. How did my body know? Obviously, not that big of a deal. Like, if my skin wasn't clear and my nails were crap, I wouldn't care either way. But how odd. It's just odd. So I was wondering, should I start like a wedding vlog series where I vlog all of the wedding related stuff? I can do that.
I'm sorry, but I think you're quite within your right to say that this video is cringe. And can I point out that in our community, we do not accept bullying at all. And the comments were said in our community were purely commenting on her actions, not her appearance, nothing like that at all. Everyone was just saying they found it a bit irritating.
A bit look, OTT. Yeah. And I feel like we should play some more of the grabs of some of the stuff Jade's been saying, because it is quite comical. And she's also been laughing at herself how much she's gone on about it. So let's have a listen.
Terms with the fact that I'm just going to be making engagement jokes for a long time, probably until I'm married. And then when I'm married, I will be making wife jokes. And then when I'm a wife and I have children, I will be making jokes about being a mother. So it's not going to stop. I'm really sorry.
I got you, baby. Some people want time and some just want everything, but everything means nothing if I ain't got you.
A mosquito actually just had the nerve to sting me on the forehead. Like, does it not know that I'm spoken for? Okay, I'm gonna stop with those jokes. I'm sorry.
Do you know what I find funny? The fact that Jade didn't come out on her platform and say, oh my gosh, obviously people have got the wrong end of the stick. This is clearly a joke. You know, you didn't get my sense of humor, particularly because her fiance, Lockie, has been posting Instagram stories on his own page when he's been paying her out and saying, oh, I'm going to have to get a divorce if you continue acting like this.
Yeah, that's the thing, because for those who actually don't know who Jade is, she has a second account where she posts the real Jade Tunchi stuff. And this is where she lets her comedic side come to life. So a lot of people in our community were confused whether she was posting on the wrong page or whether she was actually being legitimate with these comments about her engagement.
And it seems like maybe she was, because she took such great offense to the comments.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think, as I was saying before, what frustrated me the most is that she's willing to comment on something as petty as people criticizing her engagement post. However, she thinks it's okay to completely ignore a whole minority group and refuse to apologize over something that was extremely hurtful that she posted. While the post was made in 2017 and it's not current, I think she has an obligation as an influencer to apologize and acknowledge, yes, I did the wrong thing and I am learning and moving forward from this.
Exactly. And as previously discussed in this podcast, I think we're all so sick to death of this toxic influencer culture where they deem any sort of critique of their behavior as bullying.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sick of it. And do you know what really pissed me off about this whole thing is the fact that you're claiming that, you know, myself and other people in our Facebook community are being mean or bullying you. However, you're happy to then put our names on your public platform to over 400,000 people and basically send your stands on us to bully us. Like, how hypocritical.
Do you know what's hilarious though? Because I was expecting an influx of messages to our DMs and maybe people abusing our Facebook group. But we actually got an influx of people wanting to join and people following us because they obviously agreed with what the comments said. And all the comments were saying was, hey, isn't it a bit OTT the way she's been going on?
Yeah, exactly right. And I mean, influencers are happy to reap the benefits of putting their lives out there on Instagram. However, when it comes to people then commenting on these lifestyle choices, they're so oversensitive about it.
I know, which they want you to do because all they do is put up content about themselves.
Well, it builds engagement. So, you know, is she doing it so her engagement grows? Because she has been getting a lot of followers off the back of it. But I'd like to point out, I find it really interesting. I feel like influencers think that, oh, wow, I've got 433,000 followers. Every single one of those people must really like me. They must be stands for me. However, I feel like a huge portion of those people actually are only there to kind of have a fly on the wall and be like, oh, who is this person? Or to follow stuff and be like, oh, that's cringe.
Or because other people follow them, so they want to keep up to date.
And see what it's all about.
The thing that I find really disappointing is our community has been such a safe space of like-minded people where we can just, you know, discuss influencer culture and all keep it pretty lighthearted. So it was really disappointing to see that someone had screenshot images of the community, and that of course breaks our guidelines. So that person has been removed.
Yeah, I'm glad that that person's been removed. It really was someone that only joined our community very briefly, and it seems like they have been causing trouble in other people's community. So I'm glad that that person, you know, is no longer in the community, and we can get on with making it a safe place to discuss what we want to talk about.
Well, I think Megan Pistetto had the call of the century in the group. She said that our group only at the moment has 1.9 thousand followers in it, or members in it. And she said she's got more enemies in that. So how dare someone come in and screenshot such a small community's
It felt very violating as well.
Yeah, like someone was reading through your private messages.
Oh, that's how I felt on Monday night when I was sitting on the toilet and saw the message. Ugh.
Jesus Christ, Simon. What the fuck have you done in there?
What?
Oh, you've been eating cat food again. Oh, God, you've left skids down the bowl too.
Carly, I didn't. I only went in for a piss.
Oh, God. I can taste it.
Now, moving on to Dani Mansudi, she's taken a bit of a hiatus off Instagram. So on Thursday, the 4th of February, she posted a sort of thread of Instagram stories that were very detailed. And funnily enough, she has kind of answered a lot of the questions that we brought up on the podcast, which meant a lot of people sent us her stories and like, wow, she must have had a listen to what you guys said, which was crazy.
And this comes off the back of us talking about her a few weeks ago about how she is trying to return back to Australia during the pandemic. We also touched on a number of her controversies. So it appears that she may have listened to the podcast, and this is, you know, a direct response to the podcast.
Yeah, well, she addressed every single point that we had raised, and it was really interesting to hear it from her perspective. And she did admit fault.
Yeah, I think I was quite impressed with her response. I mean, there were a few things that were a bit like question marks over in regards to when she spoke about her money. So in the podcast, we discussed how she said she had spent all her savings, which were 15 grand, on the trip over to Australia to have that trip cancelled. And she actually explained that, yes, that was 15 grand were in her Australian savings account, but she also has a British savings account. She also spoke about the fact that, yes, she did get breast implants during the lockdown. However, it was the surgery was done in a specific plastic surgeon's office, so she wasn't taking a COVID bed away. So, I mean, some of them are a little bit iffy in terms of, yeah, while that might have been within the rules, it's sort of a little bit tone deaf and not the best thing to be getting surgery. However, I did really feel for her when she spoke about her mental health issues. She did put a trigger warning on there for suicide, which I think really touched a nerve with a lot of people because, as we discussed in the podcast, she is a young girl that has shared her life on Instagram and YouTube and clearly is not coping with the feedback she's received from people.
And maybe a break is going to do her the world of good.
To be completely honest, when these sort of messages pop up and they are in reference to your podcast, it does make you feel a little bit unsettled because it makes you reflect on what you did say during the podcast and whether you tackled the topic in the right way. And I suppose as our podcast grows, it's going to get to a point where the people we speak about do listen, and it does hold weight, of course, what we're saying. So I think that on reflection, I think that we tackled it in the right way, And, you know, I stand by what we said. I just hope that she is getting the help that she needs. And I think, as Amy touched on, it is good that she has stepped offline for a couple of weeks to just reflect on her life.
Yeah. And when I saw her post, my heart did sink a little bit, because when anyone ever talks about that their mental health has suffered, of course, all the things aside, like, you just want that person to be okay.
Yeah. And I think that that's why we do try and be responsible in the way we do discuss things. Obviously, we want to keep it entertaining and lighthearted, but, you know, you do have to keep these things in consideration. And at the same time, everything's not black and white. Just because we talk about an influencer and their behavior, it doesn't mean we hate this person.
Yeah.
It's just...
I think talk about their actions, not the person. And that's what we've always tried to do with the topics that we discuss.
I do think it must be quite a shock for some influencers to actually listen to a podcast that is discussing their actions, because I feel like they're so used to people only praising them and labeling everybody who comments in a different way as a troll.
Oh, it would be really confronting. And I suppose because that attention is usually left to big celebrities. However, These people need to remember, you're earning a lot of money. You're getting a lot of followers. Like, you potentially are more impactful on people's lives than, you know, Jennifer Aniston is. So
yeah, you're putting your life out there for others to comment on.
Exactly right. Well, moving on to a bit of a lighter subject to finish the influencer rap, I really enjoyed watching Anastasia King's North's apartment tour.
Oh.
And one thing that really stood out to me was the fact that when she was taking the viewers through her kitchen, she has a whole massive drawer full of chips, or crisps, as she would say.
Yeah, well, she said it was like having her own sort of candy bar at the movies.
Sorry, I just got a head. You've got your own McDonald's. Richie Rich.
I was forcing Brandon to watch this vlog with me, and he was in awe of how many chips were in this bloody drawer.
Do you know what's hilarious, though? I feel like there's such a different stance in the UK, as in Australia, it seems to be so popular for influencers to be like, oh, I'm eating so healthy, I had a protein ball while I watched the movies. And in England, they're just like, look at my drawer full of chips.
Yeah, exactly right. It kind of reminded me of when we first moved out of home, because our mum is the dental therapist, and she did not allow us to have any sugar or anything bad. So she actually, so when we had chips in the house, she would hide them in our shed. So if you really wanted to get them, you'd have to like go outside and go down the, you know,
They weren't just in the drawer.
No, they were not just in the drawer, easily accessible. So when we moved out, I know Sophie had a very unhealthy relationship with Nutella, so much so that she would, I feel like I might have shamed you on the podcast before, but for new listeners, Sophie would come home and eat Nutella with a spoon and then throw the spoons under her bed.
That's the thing. I actually can't trust myself with Nutella anymore, so I just don't allow myself to buy it.
But to be fair, I don't think her mum, Julie, has been depriving her of chocolate or chips. Every time they're like, oh, we just went to Tesco's and I bought this for tonight. And it's like five chocolate bars for Atticus.
That whole drawer just made me feel greasy looking at it. You know, when you've had a binge on chips and you're like, I don't feel
Though, I love Anastasia, and I do love that she's done that. Her apartment tour was hilarious, though, because it seems like every trend has just been thrown in her house
Is it just me? I bloody hate those dried flowers. I find them so ugly.
I thought her house looked quite cool. I did love the bum candles that were around, because
there was one in every room, literally. But going back to the food, it was funny because she also did a bit of a fridge tour. And Brandon was like, that's the unhealthiest fridge I've ever seen. It was literally just Coke cans and a packet of mints.
talking about Coke cans again, in our Facebook community, it was brought up that Coke cans and cans of drink is not fancy. So I was completely schooled in there, because I thought it was a fancy thing, but apparently everyone does it.
No, it's not that it's not a fancy thing. I think everyone in our Facebook community is fancy, perhaps.
I do actually buy individual glass bottles of kombucha that I put in the fridge, and I've just found that Nexbert do this, their version of soft drink that doesn't have, you know, aspartame and all that crap in it, in cans. And I'm so excited, because it does taste better in a can, soft drink.
Are you trying to get clout now in the community by being like, oh, actually, I do have
it
in cans.
I'm just as fancy. I buy cans.
I've got to say, though, if I'm at a restaurant and there's a choice between a can and a glass bottle of Coke Zero, I'll always go the glass bottle. Mm. And I never like, you know, when they actually used to have the vending machines with the cans that came out, I never liked it from the can. Like, I'd prefer to pour it into a glass of ice.
It tastes way better in the bottle, as you say. There's something about the taste of it in the bottle.
It has to be really cold in a can, I think. I think maybe you've had some cans that haven't been very cold.
No, it needs ice and in a glass.
My hair, this is very expensive hair, is fucking frazzled because you've only got straighteners in here. You haven't got heated rollers. So you can pay for me to have a new set of extensions. The fucking hair is frazzled.
Now let's get into snog, marry, avoid. And we are having a giggle about this suggestion. Someone has sent us in saying, would you rather snog, marry, avoid Sarah's Day, Shani Grimmond, Sammy Robinson? I feel like we have to go to Soph first because she has been accused by a lot of people as being Sarah's Day's number one fan.
Well, she did buy the Sunny app and regrets that heavily now.
I feel like a lot of people have left messages about you in our reviews saying that she's the one that likes her.
Well, yeah. I love that Sophie said, I told Sophie not to get the Sunny app. And then like a week after having it, she's like, I don't think I should have got it. I was like, no shit.
It's got a few good recipes, but I just like, gosh, no, that doesn't.
Anyway, oh God, this one's really hard because I think, as I've admitted, I have a bit of a girl crush on Sammy Robinson. So I'm kind of weighing up whether I would marry her or just pash her.
So which one?
And then Shani, like with Shani, you know, I could be like Jonathan Sauer and just try and get all these followers off her, you know, clout chasing. So it's a really difficult one. And as you said, apparently I'm Sarah's Day's biggest fan. So
Well, you clearly don't like her cooking, so maybe not marry her. She probably wouldn't want her meals.
Yeah, it's really hard because this is a hard one because I'm just gonna cop fucking heat for this.
Who cares? Just say what you think.
It's called outspoken. Be outspoken. I reckon I would actually have to marry Sammy Robinson because one, she's incredibly beautiful. And two, like, her family are fucking wealthy. Like, you know, that holiday house she has looks pretty insane.
So Sophie's just going for coin and for appearance.
Do you know what, though? She's always eating, like, yummy food, like the Maltesers and the red frogs. Yeah.
She seems like a good time. Like, she seems like someone I could actually hang out with.
No, you couldn't marry her because she seems like a bit of a slob around the house.
But I am as well. It'd be perfect.
No, but you can't both be slobs because otherwise you'd have an awful, untidy house.
Do you know what? I'd be quite intimidated by her appearance as well. Like, she's just, you know, when you feel like the loser out of that relationship.
You just be the ugly boyfriend that's like walking around like, she's mine.
Well, they're all good looking girls.
So they are. Yeah. Anyway, so I'd have to say I'll marry Sammy Robinson. It's a really hard one. I think that, I just don't know. I don't really want to pash either of them, to be completely honest.
You have to pick one.
You know what? I'm going to say I would pash Sarah's Day just for the controversy of it. And I'd have to avoid Shani.
Wow. Okay.
But Shani, I mean, you know, like, I do love Shani as well. So this is why it's a very difficult one.
She'd root you as well, Shani.
Yeah.
Oh. See, for me, I think I'd have to avoid Sarah's Day because I don't think I would be up for the 6 a.m., you know, wake-ups to go to the gym. I feel like there'd be a lot of pressure to be working out and eating healthy. I think she's very high maintenance. And I don't really see her as a sexual being. Like, I don't know. She just doesn't give off that vibe. Whereas, you know, it's Shani.
I didn't think you can say that.
Why?
I didn't think you
could. Leave it. I know. Leave I'm just in. Being honest.
Yeah. Can't tell you too much.
Go on, Kate. Continue.
Yeah, well, I'm just being honest. I probably, look, so tossing up between Shani and Sammy.
Oh, that's tough. I mean, Shani's got a shit together with her life coach. Mm. I think I might marry Shani and pash Sammy Robinson. Sammy Robinson, as Amy said, is a bit of a slob. Like,
she's got this, you know, she's got a lucrative business as well.
I feel like she can look after me. She's too tall for me as well.
Too tall for you.
Yeah.
Wait, but aren't you pashing her?
Yeah, well, she'd have to bend down.
Well, how tall is your boyfriend? Like, probably be a similar height.
True.
I think she'd be tall.
Okay, Reese is like 6'4". What's Sammy? She's around the same.
He's not 6'4".
He fucking is.
Anyway,
ladies. Go look at his basketball profile on Google.
Oh, those are always incorrect.
They're always like 2'4".
I reckon he's 5'9". Not that it really matters.
5'9"? He's not 5'9". He's like 5'11", if anything.
5'9"? Oh, wait. I thought 5'9 was the highest. And
no,
was,
you moron.
Okay. Oh, my God. No. Anyway, okay. I am going to say I'd have to pash Sammy. I couldn't marry Sarah's Day though because I feel like
she's copying me.
No, but I feel like she'd break my balls. That's what I feel like. I feel like, and I wouldn't want to eat healthy all the time.
No.
And so
they do have Skittles and Red Bulls a bit.
No, they don't. Anyway, and so then I'd have to marry Shani.
Yeah,
she seems so chilled. Shani.
She'd be fun to hang out with.
I reckon she'd be so fun. And then you get to hang out with her dog Peanut and Bindi.
Is it too late to change mine?
No. You locked to Sammy Robinson.
Your passion, Sezzy.
We'd be the same height.
She's been outed as the number one Sarah's Day fan on this podcast.
It's funny because we actually look quite similar. We'd be quite a cute little girl.
Yeah, you'd be better height wise.
Yeah.
So you guys get married and have babies and puppies?
Yeah, eventually.
You have an alpha. One day, if we do get married,
yeah.
Think of the epic wedding vlogs.
Well, anyway, moving on to recommendations, and I have been binge watching the old series of The Hills. I'm up to like series 4 and it has been amazing. I just feel like, where has the time gone? Reese pointed out to me the other night that it's been like 16 years since filmed, and it made me feel physically ill because I remember watching the second series being at uni and just loving everything that Lauren Conran was wearing, copying the black nail polish, copying the name rings.
Kate, you probably shouldn't point out our age because in our reviews we keep being called bitter old women.
I love it. We're like 31.
Well, on that, I'd like to rebut to the person that said, oh, you're 10 years older than the people you're talking about. Well, I got ID'd on the weekend, so stick it up your pipe and smoke it.
Don't say that, Kate. You can't say that.
That's funny.
I love how this whole podcast, so he's like, you can't say that. My recommendation has to be the latest episode of The Wild Ones with Nikki and Lucy. They had an episode with Courtney Magnan, who is a friend of the show.
Please don't ruin it because I'm listening to that segment on the way home because Amy has pumped this up. Courtney shares a really bad date experience.
So. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Courtney, if you're listening, I feel for you. That was an amazing story. People have to go check it out. I just was like I was in awe listening to this story. I was shocked. I was shook.
My recommendation is a bit more of a basic one. I'm going to recommend...
Yours are always basic.
I know, but it's a food one. So
The Sunny app?
Well, I've got... Oh, shut up. No, it's completely opposite of The Sunny app. This is a lolly recommendation. It is those... Have you guys seen them? They're white chocolate raspberries. They're Allen's. These things are completely ruining my sugar ban. I buy them all the time. It's terrible.
I don't like white chocolate.
No, I used to not like it, but these... amazing.
Aren't you meant to be eating healthy?
Yes, I am. And I said, I keep seeing these on sale. And I'm like, just one more time.
Sophie, you let me have one before, one of the kombucha lollies, which don't taste anything like kombucha, but apparently they've got probiotics in them or something.
No, bullshit. I only bought these for the podcast. I was going to put up a picture of them, but I ate them before I got
this. This was like the lolly house. I opened up Sophie's pantry before and I'm like, this is like the fun pantry. We don't have all these things at home.
Anyway, have you tried these kombucha lollies? They literally do not taste like kombucha
They were quite nice.
They were nice, but they didn't taste anything like
it. They kind of had a liquidy center, but like it didn't taste like kombucha. Which is probably good for a lot of people, you know, who might not like kombucha.
Well, I think that's all we've got time for today.
I hope everyone has an amazing weekend and we look forward to being in your ears on Monday morning.
Now, despite all the drama that we've discussed, if you do want to join our Facebook community, we are out at Outspoken, the podcast community. I promise you the troublemakers have been banned, so it's a good old time in there now.
No, it's really good in there. And if you do have time and you haven't already, could you please leave us a 5-star review if you do enjoy the show? We have had a few trolls come in after all of the
drama
that's gone down. So if you could leave us a review, we'd really appreciate it.
And we'd love to see where you're listening from, especially over the weekend. Please tag us on Instagram at outspoken_the_podcast.